Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today. We're studying the names of God, Counselor. We're going to study the name Counselor as one of the names of God so you can know God through His name. Now, our ministry is for His glory because all that we do, people, really should be, must be, ought to be for His glory. Now, we help you see the Bible through Hebrew eyes and understand the spiritual revelation that God has given us as men and women of truth, so we can know the truth, and the truth that we know will set us free. So we're going to study carefully now together one of the names of God, and remember, it is imperative. People, it is imperative to know the names of God. Not as a list, not as just something you say, but to know Him. The term to know, lada'at in Hebrew, or yada in the third person singular past, is really when you come into a level not just of head knowledge, but experiential knowledge, where you become one with that with which you are studying, with that with which you are studying. Really, the term lada'at in Hebrew, L-A-D-A, apostrophe, A-T, lada'at, that term, L-A-D-A, apostrophe, A-T, to know, is also used, interestingly enough, that in a covenant of marriage where men and women become united sexually as one and at every level as one. So to know something means to be intimate with it, to experience it, not just from the neck up, but all of you from head to toes. You become one with that which you're studying. So God wants us to know Him. He wants us to be intimate with Him and at every level to connect and be as one. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "The one that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Some of your Bibles, it'll say, "with Him," afterwards in italics, which is not really part of the original text, just put in for your understanding. But the original says, "For the one that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Now, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 9:6. We're going to read first several verses because we'll let the Bible speak for itself. And it will defend itself. It's like someone asked John Calvin once, the great reformer. They said, "Well, John, you know, how do you defend the Bible?" And he goes, "Defend the Bible? It's like a lion. I just let him out of the cage." God will defend God, all right? Just speak clearly, purely, and honorifically, and leave it to God. Okay, turning with me, we're in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and Danielle is the reader.
"For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace."
Oh, amen. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Please, that's just too important. Now, let's give you several more. I'll read to you Psalm 16:7. And Danielle will do the next one, and I'll follow. Psalm 16, verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." My counsel. All right, that's the first part. "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." That's critical. Recognize we're studying counselor. Who gives you counsel? The Lord. "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." Remember, that's going to be a critical point in today's teaching. Next, Psalm 73, verse 24.
"With thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me to glory."
That is critical. Would you read that again, Danielle, for all of us?
"With thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me to glory."
Isaiah 28:29. Let's do one more. "This also comes from the Lord of the armies. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom." This also comes from the Lord of the armies. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Now, people, this is critical we understand this here. Without understanding this here and God who is the counselor, we're going to be in a ready-made source of problems by our own doing for life. We dig our own pits, we sink our own ships. We got to be careful, people, because by our lips, our mouth, we have life or death. And the Bible says, "For death and life are in the power of the tongue, and happy are those who eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and happy are those who eat its fruit. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, Proverbs 18, 21. We often in life get advice. We ask everybody everything. We rarely ask God for anything. Usually when we ask God is after we've asked other people. Remember what I just said? After we've asked other people for advice. And then it was bad advice. Not wise advice. Wrong advice. And we have trouble that we've just invited in because we thought they knew. Or experience was our teacher. You know what, people? Experience is not your best teacher. Never was. God is. I'm going to give you an example with King David, who was a man after God's own heart. One time he was going out after a perennial enemy, the Philistines. And we all have different Philistines. I shouldn't say we all. At times, some of you may have a Philistine in your own life, person, place, or thing. And he went first. Where did he go? To God. When? First. Exactly. And he said, Lord, are you going to give them into my hands? The Lord said, yes, they're in your hands. And David went out and fought God's fight. You know why David never lost a battle? Never. Because he fought the fights of God. He fought the battles of God because God fought through him. He consulted. I want you people to say with me right wherever you are, consulted. Consulted. And he consulted who? God. When?
First.
That's the way to do it. Now, when he consulted God, he went out, he won. How's that for business? All right? He did great. Now, not long after, there was another time period where he had to fight the same enemy. So, sometimes what we do is we say, well, I fought this problem before. God showed me what to do. I know what to do. I'll go out and I'll deal with this the same way. David was too smart for that, by knowing he was not that smart. None of us are. What did he do? He went to the source of all wisdom. Say source, people. Source. The source. Not a source. Not a resource. Yes. But the source of all knowledge first. Right, Danielle? He went to God first and said, Lord, are you going to give them, whatever your problem is, say the same thing. Lord, are you going to give into my hands again? And the Lord said, go. I've given them into your hands. And he went and he fought and he won again. Pretty good record, anywhere you go. He was having a very good day. What did David do? He listened to God. He went to God. He talked to God. First. Now, sometimes we say, well, I fought this before. I've dealt with this before. We don't even ask God. We go out and we try it. And did you ever find what worked last year didn't work this year? Did you ever find the way that you handled the problem last year somehow this year didn't quite work out the same? So what's the problem, people? What's the difference? That was last year. And the faith you had last year to get you where you needed to go with God is not going to carry you to the same degree this year. People, you're in a new place. You have to muscle up. You have to build your faith up. You have to go forward. You're at a new level. You were in third grade last year. You better be in fourth grade this year. And the tests you passed last year are not going to pass you in fourth grade if they were third grade levels. Okay? And remember, when you get a test from God is to pass, not pass out. All right? You don't get tests from God that are going to tempt you. They're going to test you. Now, God tempts you to stand. Satan tempts you to fall. God gives you tests to rise up. The enemy gives you temptations to tear you down. And the Hebrew gives us a much deeper understanding. The term nisayon for test or trial, but don't put your English spin on it with me, please. And I grew up in America. I know what these words are pretty well, but that's not the original language. So jump with me across the water into another culture, custom, time period, and language, and put on a Bible mind, a Hebrew mind, a spirit mind, and see what God says, okay? Put yourself in this time frame, and God says, nisayon, a test or trial. The root of that word is nes. Let's all say that together.
Nes.
Nun samech, for our Hebrew people. That literally is the same word, nes, that we have for the word miracle. Whoa, that's a little different. The meaning of word for trial, Or test is the same word for miracle? Give me my miracle. Let's have it. It's the same word for banner, that which you raise up on high. Banner, miracle, test, trial, all come from the same word. You got my attention. I want to hear more about this here. We will. Well, the term nes, if you look at it letter by letter in a deeper meaning in Hebrew, and we taught it before, but just so you know, every letter in Hebrew has seven. That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven meanings. The nun means life. Basically, the samech means support. So what is a nes, a trial or test? It is life giving, life supporting. Daniel said it better. It is life supporting. A test is that which supports life. I want them. I want that test. I want that trial. And now I need to know how to effectually address it and handle it. So first, let's look at one verse in Exodus 20:20, and then we're going to go look at the life application of this in much greater depth. But I want you to understand why these come, and it's a focus. In Exodus 20:20, that's right after Genesis, in the beginning of the Bible, Exodus chapter 20, Shemot 20:20. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to," here's that word, "test. For God has come in order to test you." Let's read it again. "For Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you do not sin.'" What's the ultimate purpose of this all? So you don't
sin.
Oh, good. What is sin?
Missing the mark.
Perfect. To miss the mark. What's the mark? Life. God wants you to be able to do life, so let's work it backwards, which will give us better forward thinking and give us more information. What is it? So that you may not sin. What is it? God wants the fear of him to remain on you. He's coming to test you. Don't be afraid. So first, don't fear. Why not be afraid? What is fear going to do to you? An unhealthy fear. It's going to freeze you. You're not going to be functional. You're not going to be people of faith, but will be people of fear. Fear freezes you on the inside, and everything outside's jiggly and moving. Faith, everything on the outside's moving and moving and moving. Inside, you're solid and you're strong. Fear is going to just, inside, it's going to rock you and freeze you. Faith is going to free you. Fear is going to freeze you, and you'll fall. So be careful and know the difference. So first, do not be afraid. Why? For God has come in order to test you. What is the thing we normally think about when we hear the word test, people? What is our common response to the word test?
Something that's not good.
And I'm sure that's not in Webster's dictionary.
Yes.
Some test equals something that's not good. I was just having a discussion with a wonderful college-age young man yesterday who had a very difficult time with tests. And I had counseled another lady on this some months back. And after that, you know what this young lady first got? She got 105, I think, on her test. Now all her tests are like, no big deal, fine. Why do you go to school?
To learn.
To learn. Why do you have a test? What's the real purpose of a test, even
to prove,
in school?
To prove what you've learned.
To prove what you learned and help you see what you know and you don't know. Is that
right.
A good thing, so you know what you really know and don't know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Because you're not going to school just for a grade. I hope not. You're going to school to learn. And what you learn, that test is going to reflect back to you what you need to see about what you really know. And if you can answer it in a way the other person wants it to be answered, that they can understand and get your answer. So you have to make sure not only do you speak, but it communicates. Communication requires that the other person gets what you're saying. Okay? So Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, to give you that which is life-supporting." Why? So the fear of him may remain on you. Now let's, Danielle, you and I tell him about this word fear. First of all, the word fear does not mean awe or reverence. Those are secondary meanings. If you looked up the word awe in your Bible, it'll say fear mingled with respect, awe. That doesn't help us go too far yet. Reverence, fine, but that's not a deeper meaning. The term in Hebrew for fear is yirah, like a calendar year, you could say it phonetically, year, Y-E-A-R, apostrophe, A-H, Y-E-A-R, apostrophe, A-H, yirah. That's the word for fear in a noun form, all right? Now, if we look at it deeper, that term fear is what comes from the hand that you see. Now, what does that mean? What do you do with your hands? You do work, deeds, activity. You do things. To see also means to have insight. So let's look at the concept of the term fear at a deeper meaning in the language of Hebrew. All right? You're looking at it. Every letter has seven meanings, and every word has 70. That's right, 70. So the meaning of the word fear in its core essence is what comes from the hand or the work that you see and understand. So when you fear God, you're going to be able to say, when I fear God, that is really what comes from when I understand what He's doing. I understand His handiwork. I have insight into what God's doing. Now, could that kind of fear be good? It's only good. Yes, Daniel?
So when we say, when God says fear me or fear,
right.
It means look at me, see me, watch what I'm doing.
Watch what I'm doing.
It has nothing to do with being afraid.
Of course not. That's our English mind.
Right. It has to do with just keeping your eye on Him.
Exactly. So when Jesus says, did you all get that? Let's go over that again. What does it mean for the people to fear God? What does that mean through a Hebrew eyes? It means what comes from the hand that you see understanding what He's doing. Now, that kind of fear, it's easy to love God, right? Because
soon
I see what He's doing, I go, how great Thou art. Now, reverence will come into play.
Yes.
But how do you revere who you don't know? How do you be in awe of what you don't see? So there's something prior to those secondary meanings, which is its primary meaning. And I want you to reach what I call points of tension, people, where the English fails its spiritual meaning. And your spirit should go, something's missing here. Something's wrong here. I'm missing something here. It's not conveyed in the language. There's an original meaning that has escaped me, and I need to know what it is. Because you have to ask. One of the ways, God says, is ask and you shall receive. Okay, so ask, and a term in Matthew 7:7 means keep on asking. Don't just ask once. Unless you get the answer the first time, you pursue with a hunger to get the answer, determining in your mind you'll settle for nothing less than a whole answer. Okay, please do that. We all have done that for other things. Let's do that primarily for God things, all right, and for our God. So Moses said to the people, do not fear. What does that mean then? It didn't say fear of God there. It said don't fear. So what is that kind of fear then? Don't watch the hand of the world. Don't focus on what people are doing. Don't put your eyes on there because your eyes are going to guide your soul. God says, take your eyes off the problems. Take your eyes off the people. Take your eyes off the circumstances. And let me tell you why. God's come in order to give you a test, nisayon, a life-supporting whatever into your life, that which is going to be life-supporting into your life. For what purpose? So that you can see what He's doing. And as you see and understand what He's doing, then you won't sin, you won't miss the mark, you could do life and be free. Now that's how you understand that verse now. Is that a little different? Is that kind of like, well, now I can not only read it, I can understand it. Not only will I understand it, now I could do this Bible. And then we could say, well done.
Yes.
So now, let's go back to counsel. God is our counselor. What happens when people don't go to God for counsel? And they go to 3-4 friends for something. There's nothing wrong about talking to your friends, except the order in which we do it and who we're talking to. What's wrong with just going to some other people and asking them a question? Who are they? When you have access to the God of the universe, who's perfect in wisdom and knowledge, who is for you and not against you, who sees everything perfectly and clearly, who is light in whom there is no darkness, whose counsel to you is perfect. He gives you counsel. He guides you with counsel. He's excellent in wisdom. He's excellent in wisdom and wonderful in counsel. If I told you that someone was coming to town to a business meeting, and the meeting was free at a major stadium, let's say, they can answer all your business questions. They could tell you how to prosper. They could tell you how to heal. They could tell you how to love your family. They could tell you how to solve your problems. They could tell you how to have a good life. They could tell you how to have peace and serenity in your soul. They could tell you all this and infinitely much more. Would you go? I would. I'd be running. Soon as I heard that, I'd go. Well, let's go to God, who's the counselor. People, God's not second. He's first. Well, I don't know how to do that. Do you know God is the easiest one in the whole world to speak to? Why? He's closer than everybody else. He's listening to you. He cares about you. He knows you. He created you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He is perfect in all ways, and he's rooting for you. He thinks about you. David says in Psalm 139, starting at verse 17, I want you to look at this carefully, Psalm 139, verse 17. Okay? How precious also are their thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! David is awed by how much God thinks about him. God's thinking about you. He wants to guide you with his counsel. He wants to help you. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. You ever try to count sand? Even in a sand lot or at your local beach? It'd be a tough thing to do. You don't have enough days and minutes and seconds in a lifetime, nor your kids altogether. When I awake, I am still with thee. Stay with God, people. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants all for you. Yes, Danielle.
This teaching is wonderful. It helped me a lot. I learned what fear means. It's not be afraid. It means to keep my eye on the counsel of the Lord who leads me. He loves me. He's not going to hurt me. His tests are to lift me and give me life and life more abundantly. Yeah. So now I can fear the Lord because I know it means keep my eye on him.
Exactly.
And nowhere else.
That's perfect. Did you all get that? That's a soul speaking. When you understand that now, once you fear God, is it going to be easy to love him now?
Oh, yes.
A lot easier, right? When we grew up and others, look, I didn't know this till we studied it right either. So we were told, you fear God, but then you love God. It's like you're running away, and then you're running two. You can't run in two directions at once. You're going to split something. You can't do that, people. So you're going to hurt yourself. So what do? You love God. You love God, and you fear God. And as you love God, you'll be closer and closer to him. As you fear God, you'll see him better and better. So before, during, and after you do anything, anything, people, you'll talk to God. And like Moses, when they were camped with the tribes of Israel, he said, God, when you go, we go. You stay, we stay. You're going out, we're going out. If you don't go out, we're not going out. People, those are good directions. You're wandering out a business deal and a person tells you all this, oh, you got, and you don't consult God, don't do it. My dad told me, he said, sleep on it, you know? And we'll add on it, ask God, and then you'll have your answer. Don't think the deal is so hot, so good, so important, you got to make a snap decision right there because you could be buying a lot of magazines and a lot of trouble for years if you're not careful, all right? God wants you to rest on it. And my dad wisely said, and if they try to push you, tell them to go buy it, all right? You don't got to buy it. What's the trouble? Don't think that the deal is so great you can't live without it. You can't live without God, all right? Remember that. You can't live without God. Man cannot live without God. And for those of you that don't know God, you're existing. You're not living. So come and taste life and see the Lord's good.
So fear God.
Fear God. See his hand. Watch what he's doing. Understand his ways.
And nothing else.
And nothing else. Because if you're fearing something else, your eyes are on them instead of God.
Crazy.
And you can only focus on one at a time. And you only have to focus on one. And the math is real simple. One, stop counting. Did you get that? It's a very simple math system. One, period. You don't have to count anywhere else. So I want you to rest on his counsel. Know that in Psalm 16:7, you'll come to say this just like David said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Because the counsel you get from God, you're going to turn around and say, bless God. Bless my God. God, thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name, because that's what God's about. He wants to bless you for your sake and for his glory, to give you life and good and make you great. And they all said,
Amen.